Says the Heilige Mishnah, Daf Mem Hei Omed Aleph. Everybody realizes the great zechus that we have every day to learn together. It's not muvan me'ilav. It's not to be self-understood. Most of us, myself included, would not necessarily have predicted this 20 or 30 years ago. We'll be sitting here in Bet Shemesh learning Gemara every single day, a bit off the charts. And here we meet America and Canada and London and even Mashkafayim all together every single day. Netanya, Tanais, Baruch Hashem, big zechus. Okay, so we started the Mishnah yesterday. We saw the Mishnah, a rather tragic Mishnah, which discusses the actual details of the Skila process. So we saw it's a three, possibly a three-stage process. Stage one is they push him off the two-floor building. If he's not yet dead, they then launch a rock at him. And if they still do not find him dead, that was the first aid, then the second aid. And if he's still not yet dead, well, at that point, you bring in the rest of the people and they will start stoning him. And that's all learned from Psukim. Says the Gemara, Tana.
Just a quick question. I don't know if the Gemara is going to talk about it, but a source where the Edom are the ones the agents to carry out.
Pasuk says it, yeah.
Let's see.
Is there a reason behind that? We were.
The Mishnah quoted the Pasuk, Yad ho'edim tia boi barishayna. Why would they be the ones? I don't know. The only reason I could suggest is we do have a principle of kol ha'maschil b'mitzvah, oimrim lo gemor. If you begin a mitzvah, then you should complete it. So maybe they began it, they complete it. I do not know. Says the Gemara, Tana. We've learned in a Braisa, remember, our Mishnah said that the Beis HaSkila was two floors high. So says the Braisa, Tana, the Koimah Shaloi. Don't forget that the person himself also has a certain height, which means he's not just falling from the height of two floors, it's also his own height. Some of us are taller than others. We won't go into that now. But I have nothing against tall people at all. Says the Gemara, if so, Hari Kan Sholish. Nachum, you have anything against tall people?
No, just the Gemara in Sukkah said it's better to be taller. It's more chashuv.
Yeah, we don't want to rub that in at the moment. We also don't want to mention that the reason why I make a bracha on the lulav, I'll make a bracha al natilas lulav. We don't say al natilas arba saminim. So Chazal say because the lulav is the tallest. But so we're not going to flaunt anything, Nachum, over here. So Tana, v'koma shaloi. In addition to the two-story building, it's also his own height. In which case, Hari Kan Shalish. So it's really, as it were, almost like three levels, says Rashi. Tana, v'koma shaloi, shahoyom mapiloi, mu'umud. They used to push him off standing, v'loima yushuv. So he's really, I guess, if you look at the head of the person, the head of the person is really falling from a height of, as it were, three levels, two stories, plus two floors, plus his own height. Says the Gemara, Umi bo'inon kule hai. Why do you need such a height? Why do you need such a height? If the Beis HaSkila is that tall, and in addition to that, you have his own height, then it would seem to be that we are assuming that any less of a height, he won't be killed. Is that true? Umi bo'inon kula height. Do we really need such a big height? V'raminu, we ask a kasha from Bava Kamma. Ma boir. Shehu kedei lahomis asara tfochim. It says a boyer has the ability to kill if it is at a height or a depth of 10 tfochim. Af kol, so to everything, kedei lahomis asara tfochim. That becomes a general principle. that if you want to know whether did the boyer kill him, if somebody made a boyer, somebody dug a pit of 5 tfachim, the person fell in and he died, then we say it was nothing to do with the boyer. He must have had a heart attack then, nothing to do with the boyer. Because a boyer, meaning a fall, can only kill somebody at a height of 10 tfachim. And that becomes a general rule, which is a bava kama halacha, essentially nothing to do with us. But it's very much to do with us because at least we can learn from there that what is the height that Chazal gauged that a person can die from? A fall of 10 tfachim. So if that's the case, why do we need to shove him off the Beis HaSkila, the height of 2 floors plus his own height? Don't you think he would have died at a less of a height as well? Look at Rashi. Umi boinon kula hai? Do we need so much? The balav ochi without this leka shir misa? Question mark. You don't think there's a shir? I don't think there's enough of amount, a requisite amount that he could possibly he would die? What's going on? Ma boyer shukadei la misa. It's a Mishnah in Bava Kama Daf Beis, right at the beginning of the Masechta, and it says echad hachofer boyer. Whether somebody digs a pit or echad hachofer siachu ma'ara, if it's not a pit, it's some sort of alley or moat, any type of hole in the ground. Chayev benafilas shoyer v'chamoyer. If a shoyer or a chamoyer fall into it and they die, then you're chayev to pay. Imkein, so if that's the case, ma lomo nema boyer. So why did the Torah specify boyer? Right, we know the Lashon of the Pasuk is if a person will dig a boyer, why does it say boyer? If you're telling me it's lav dafka a pit, it's any type of hole in the ground. What's unique about a boyer? So the Gemara there says it's a Mishnah, Brisa. It says, ma boyer sheyesh boy kedei lahomis. What's unique about a boyer, the definition of a boyer is it has a requisite height that in theory could kill somebody. V'hainu asara tfachim, why? The stum boyer, because your standard boyer, einoi pochos me'asara tfachim, is afkol. So too, every type of hole in the ground, the general rule is kol sheyesh boy kedei lahomis. It's got to be that it has an amount, a height, that could kill somebody. What is that? Umayniyu. What is that? Asara tfachim. But hoya pechusin mikan. If it was less than 10 tfachim, v'nofal letoichon shor v'chamor, and a shor v'chamor dropped into there, fell into their umes, potter. Why are they potter? Because we say that at a height of 8 tfachim, that height cannot possibly kill somebody. Alma, what do you see? Asara have a shir lahomis. So I see that 10 tfachim. Is the height? 10 tfachim is the height. So if so, why must we throw this person off a height of 2-floor building plus his own height, which is clearly much more than 10 tfachim? Surely 10 tfachim would have been enough. Says the Gemara, once again, we're visiting the Yesod that we said yesterday. Omar of Nachman, says the Gemara. Omar Rabbah, Baravua, Omar Krov, Ohavto, Lerecho, Kamoicho. Beroir, Loi, Misa, Yofer. Remember, we discussed this yesterday, that even though this person being killed is obviously a Rasha Gomor, because he was over the Aveira B'mezid. And even though Edom gave him Hasra and he didn't care, he's clearly a Rasha. Nonetheless, we have to select for him a Misa, which takes into consideration his dignity, like we saw yesterday, or his pain. So therefore, why is it better to kill him off a taller height? Says Rashi, two words. Misa yofa, sheyomus maher. He'll die quicker. It's true, the height of 10 could kill somebody, but he might be wriggling in agony until eventually he dies. But if it's a taller drop, bigger drop, then he's more likely to die quicker. So if that's the case, and that is a fulfillment of Ahavta Recha Kamoicha. Ask the Gemara, so what's the limit? Yochi. So if that's the case, we have every reason we want to drop him off a very big drop, so that he dies quickly. So why 2 floors? Maybe 20 floors? Why don't we drop him off the Empire State Building, and then he'll definitely die in a second? Ligboyat fei. So maybe we should make it even higher, says the Gemara. No, mishum deminuvel. There's a very careful balance over here. If we drop him off too high a height, then his whole goof will end up being in a very despicable state. And part of the fulfillment of after Echa Kamoicha is to consider not just his death, but what he'll be like after death as well. So therefore, it's a very, very difficult balance. On the one hand, we want to do it on a big drop so that he dies quickly, but not too big a drop, not too much of a drop, because then his whole goof will be savaged into pieces. Have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi Menuvel, Im Gavoya Yoser Midai. Because if it's too high, then Mispazer Gufoy Ve'ivorov Misparkin. Then his whole goof and his limbs will all become dismembered. The Kresoy Nifkas, and his whole stomach will explode. So therefore, it's very important that this person, even after he's dead, should be treated with respect. And therefore, it's a balance. We don't want to rely on the minimum drop, which is 10 tefachim, because we want him to die quickly. On the other hand, we don't want to do a maximum drop, which could be, I don't know, 100 floors, because then his whole goof will become dismembered. And then there's an issue of nivel. Nivel means despise and shame. Yes, Rav Nachum.
Just a question regarding 10 tefachim really seems like nothing
Well,
when it
don't try
comes
it.
to height. What?
Don't try it. You know how much 10 tefachim is, by the way?
I mean, this is one tefach, so it's 10 of
According to
these.
the Chazon Ish,
Like
10
40
tefachim
inches.
is a meter. A
A
meter tall.
meter.
Yeah.
That's a
Person
lot to
could.
kill a person. It's like I don't feel like that's really
It's not a matter of feeling.
any
That's what
level of height.
Chazon. A person can die at a fall of a meter. Don't try it.
So the other question is this whole mission is talking about an animal. There's no differentiation between an animal and a person.
Yes. So Tosa does discuss, I don't know. Yeah, we're assuming no difference. Good point.
There is a difference, or no difference.
Tosa discusses whether there would be a difference, but you're quite right that the Gemara is assuming that there seems to be no difference. Okay, back into the Gemara. So we've now discovered why it is this particular height that's necessary. Like we said, we're trying to get the balance between, on the one hand, killing him quickly, on the other hand, not chas v'sholom, they should end up in a very ignominious state. Says the Gemara. Echad min ha'edim doichvoi. By the way, if you want to look briefly, look at the fourth Tosfos on our Amud. Reb Nachum, this is b'negiah to your Shaila. V'raminhu ma boir. Hod porich mishoir a'odom. How can you ask from a shoir to an odom? Reb Nachum, isn't this your question? It says there, as we've just mentioned, that a shoir who falls into a pit, yes, albeit of 10 tefachim, can indeed die. That may well be. But on the other hand, who's to say that the same rules apply scientifically to a human being as it would to a shoyr? At the end of the day, the Mishnah only discusses a shoyr. So maybe, as Nachum suggested, a shoyr, albeit stronger, whatever, but it's smaller, I don't know, maybe a shoyr we're being taught, can die at the height of 10 tefachim, but who's to say a human being as well? That's Tosis Kasha, no? That's what Tosis is asking. Ha de parich mishoir a'odom. How can you possibly ask from a shoir to an odom? Says Tosis mishum dehosam nami, because they're also darshinon, we make a drasha, shoir v'loy odom. The Torah makes a specification when it talks about boer, and it says shoir. And we make a drasha, shoir v'loy odom. Now, what does that mean, Reb Nachman? This is the answer to your question. If the Gemara makes a drasha, shoir v'loy odom, what does that mean? That essentially it would apply equally to shoir and odom. I need a pasuk to tell me that for some reason the halacha only applies to a shoir. But if I need a pasuk to differentiate, what does that show me? That based on logic, they'll be exactly the same. So yes, it's true the Mishnah is only talking about shoir, but don't make the mistake of thinking, that's because an odom wouldn't die at all. It's not true. An odom clearly would die, as is muchach by virtue of the fact that I need a pasuk to tell me that the halacha is different for odom for whatever reason. So clearly, that's what Tosis is saying. From the very fact that I need a pasuk to say shoir v'loy odom, meaning without a pasuk, I would have every reason to think that whatever applies to a shoir applies to an odom as well. Okay, so halachically, they're not the same. But scientifically, they clearly are. Okay, back into the Gemara. Echad min ha'edim doichafoyim. So we said yesterday, the houses all start by one of the edim. He will push the fellow off the two heights, the two floors. Ton Rabbanon, minayin. Where does this concept of pushing him come from? Where does it come from? Where does pushing him come from? Doesn't the Torah, after all, talk about stoning? But where does it say anything about pushing? Stoning surely means that you throw stones at him, which is eventually what happens if he doesn't die after the pushing. But where does the pushing come from? Minayin. Now, you have to know, it's worth while looking. I don't know if anybody has a pasuk in front of them. But if you open the pasuk, it's in Shemois Yud Tes. Those who don't have pasuk in front of them, I will. I'll read you out the pasuk. Right. Now, this is a pasuk in Parshas Yisro. In Parshas Yisro, it says that it's talking about Matan Torah, and it says that you have to put a fence around the mountain, meaning around Har Sinai, and nobody must touch the mountain. Now, the lashon of the pasuk is, listen very carefully, it says, Loi sigabo yad, the hand should not touch the mountain. What happens if it does? Ki sokoil yisokel, he will be stoned, double lashon. Oi yoroi yiyore. Now, what does yoroi yiyore mean? Does anybody know translation of the word yoroi yiyore? We should all know translation because we said it this morning in davening. When we said yoro bayam, yoro means to throw. Even in modern day Ivrit, to shoot is yore, to shoot, to throw, to launch something. So the Torah clearly says that two things are happening: sokel yisokel and yoro yirore. He will be stoned and he will be launched or pushed. And that's what the Gemara says again. Ton Rabbanon minayin. How do you know that he has to be pushed? Talmud Loima, Yoroi. That's the first drasha. Look at Rashi. Minayin shebedichia nidoinu hanoigim bahar Sinai. It says, with regard to those who touch Har Sinai, Talmud Loima, Yoroi loisiga. Yi yore loshen hashlocha, it's a loshen of throwing, kamoi yora bayom. Umimashmaus darash, and we're dashing just from the actual mashmaus through the meaning of the word, but v'loi from a ribuya. We know we have two types of drashas. Sometimes we have a drasha based on the fact that the Torah has an extra word, it's a ribui. Sometimes it's a drasha just from the simple mashmaus of the pasuk, the actual meaning. So here Rashi is saying, for the moment, we're not darshaning a ribui. This is the straightforward definition translation of the word yira. It's not an extra word. Okay, back into the Gemara. Uminayin. So how do I know that in addition to throwing him, I've also got to stone him? Talmud Loma, Sokir. So I've definitely got two psukim, one for the fact you have to push him, one for the fact you have to stone him. Now the question is, what does that mean? Does that mean you have to do both or either one? What does that mean? Says the Gemara, yes,
Does
Rav
the pasuk, do we usually put an emphasis on the order of the pasuk? Because here it's darshaning, it's out of order.
what do you mean is that actual word? Because first it says sokol.
So, right.
Correct. Okay, we'll see. Good point. The Gemara does not seem to dash near, but 1 second. Says the Gemara, uminayin shebeskila. How do I know that I do both? What does it mean, both? Look at Rashi. Minayin shebeskila avonim. It says, who's krusham Talmud Loma sokol, duloshen avonim. Sokol, definitely is a strange word, sokol. Sokol is something to do with stones. To learn from a pasuk later on in the Torah, v'sakluhu anshi'ira ba'avonim, and you stone him or you launch stones at him. Uminayin shebeskila ubedichia. How do I know that if necessary I have to do both? Im hutzrach l'shtehen, if I would need both, kagoin shedochfuhu v'loimes. If they pushed him and they didn't die, how do I know that I follow that up with skila? So the answer is, says the Gemara, tamloim asokel yisokel lo yora yiyoreh. Now we have a ribui. Remember, each word is written with a ribui. It doesn't just say sokoil, it says sokoil yisokel, or rabbi yirobe, yora yirore, says Rashi. Talmud loy maki sokoil yisokel, or yora yirore, ribuyahu. Now it really is a ribui. Di'i chada minayu dafka ka'oma. Oi ha. If it only would have meant once, then it would have missed out a word. And it would have says Sokol Oyara. Sokol Oyara. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say Sokol Oyara. It says Sokol Yisokel. Remember, the Torah does not say, now listen very carefully. The Torah does not say Yisokel V'Yara. If it would say V, then what would we understand? Obviously, you've got to do both, but it doesn't say that. It says Oy. So oi, on the one hand, sounds like either or. Now comes the double loshen and says, no, if necessary, you have to do both. So why does it say oi then? So why indeed did it just not say sokoil v'yiyore? Says the Gemara, look back into the Gemara. Sorry, did I finish? I stopped in the middle of Rashi. Ribuyohi di'i chodominayu dafke ka'oma. Because if the Torah only required one oi ha, either this or that, because it does say oi, then lichtoiv ki sokol oyara, stoning or pushing. But midiksiv hani leribuye kasvinu. But because it wrote these extra words, clearly it's telling me that there's a ribu, there's an extra drasha to teach you that in an occasion you might in fact have to do both. When might you have to do both if one did not do the trick? So now the question becomes, but what happens if one did do the trick? If you pushed him off the building and he died? Says the Gemara, Uminayin, she'imeis b'dechia yotza. So if you're telling me there's a ribui, the double lashonos teach you that what? You could do both. So maybe I always have to do both. Maybe even if I pushed him off the building and he died, maybe I still have to stone him as well. Says the Gemara, no. Minayin she'im meis b'dechia yotza. How do I know that if he dies with a dechia, merely by pushing it off, yotza yubi yotza, Talmud loyma? Oi! Yara yara. So therefore, at the same time, the Torah has on the one hand taught me that it's an oi, which means or, which means you don't necessarily have to do both. But on the other hand, it's also taught me that you may have to do both by virtue of the fact there's a double lashon. Says Rashi, how do I know she'imeis b'dechia yotza? Lekach ne'emar oi, quote unquote. That's why we have that magic word oi lechalek, to divide the two. What does it mean to divide the two? In other words, to tell you that not necessarily do you always have to do both. You'll do both if necessary. You will not do both if not necessary. Okay. Now, there is a bit of a problem with this drasha. By the way, Reb Nachum, you seem to be on fire today. Tosas asks your kasha. This kasha as well of yours. Everybody's invited this Shabbos, Kiddush in Reb Nachum's place, celebrate, be mechavan to two Tosas kashas. Look at Tosfos, it's not the last Tosas on the Amud, it's the second last Tosas.
I can't take credit for it. It was Rav Avram's kasha.
Who's Reb Avram's kasha?
This one was.
Okay, it's a great kasha. Rav Avram, Ashreichem.
So Kiddush at Rav Avram's.
Kiddush Rav Avram. First course at Nachum, and we walk over to Rav Avram. Says Tosfos, look at the last Tosfos, the one before the last Tosfos. Minayin shebedchia. Skila ne'emar tchila b'pasuk. Skila is actually stated first in the pasuk. Va'afilu hachi. Nachum, you're on mute.
So this one was mine, I'm sorry.
I was yours.
Rav Avram asked why it's the Edom who push.
Okay. So we're back in Mishkafayim for the Kiddush then.
Right.
Yeah, skila nematchilo. By the way, we once did this many years ago, so don't take it as a joke. Many years ago, our good friend, some of you might remember, Rabbi Yossi Benjamin. He was in the shir and he asked a kasha, which turned out to be the Shagas Arias kasha. I said, right, Kiddush Shabbos morning. We walked over, me and Bebchik, walked over to Yossi Benjamin. We made Kiddush in his house Shabbos morning. Okay, so expect a knock on your door, Nachum. Skila nema tchila b'pasuk. Skila is actually written first in the pasuk. V'afilu hachi of dinon lo l'besayif. Nonetheless, we do it at the end. Even though the Posit writes it first, but we do it second. Why? The Ashkechon Kroi, because we have found Psukim that tell us the Somuch Skila Lemisa. The Ksiv Vesakalton Vavonim Vomesu. We juxtaposition Skila to Misa. So it seems to be that Skila is the last thing, it's the most final thing that you have to do. Okay, Ptosis is clearly relating to your question. Now, there is another problem which the Gemara immediately does deal with, and that is the context of the pasuk was talking about what, as mentioned before, anybody who's over the issue of touching the mountain Har Sinai, this man of Kabbalah Satira. Well, if that's the case, that's a strange type of limud. Normally, the rule is you'd expect it to be a pasuk that tells you what is the halacha generally in all cases of chayvei skila. And yet that's not what's happening. It's telling me from a one-off event. This is what once happened, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, anybody who touches the mountain, they get pushed, they get stoned. How do we know that this now becomes halacha forever in all situations? Maybe it was a one-time thing. Says the Gemara on the bottom line, Minayin she'af l'doyrois kein. How do I know for all generations? Look at the very last Rashi. Uminayin she'af l'doyrois kol chayve skila. How do I know that all chayve skila tehei d'chiyashom? How do I know that they've got to be pushed? Maybe it was a one-time thing. Says the Gemara on the top line, Talmud Loima, Yisokel. Yisokel is the future tense. It doesn't say Sokel Niskal is stoned, it says will be stoned, says Rashi, top Rashi. Talmud Loima Sokel Yisokel, Loshen Osit. The Torah deliberately writes this in the future tense. The loy kosav, it does not say kisokel sokel or yoro yore. It says ye yore, ye sokel. So with one letter, this has taught us yet another halacha, that this is something that happens in the future. What does that mean it happens in the future? Not just at the time of Matan Torah, but also forevermore. So this is a phenomenal pasuk. In just a few letters and words, we're learning a whole bunch of halachas. Firstly, we learn that there's the concept of pushing. Secondly, we learn that if pushing is enough, you don't need to do the skila. Thirdly, we learn that if it's not enough, you have to do the skila as well. Fourthly, we're learning that the misa is done second. Fifthly, we're learning that it's done forever because it says yisokel in the future tense. Unbelievable pasuk, unbelievable drasha. Okay, Rabbi, so we're going to stop here. Mitzvah Hashem will continue tomorrow. Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach.